Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, the standing between the living and the dead, memorial and devotional service, family members as well, welcome. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the chronological Bible, episode number 193, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint This unique Bible arrangement allows us to read the whole Bible as a true single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading Numbers chapter 31. Let's pray and ask God to show us what He wants us to see in His Word today. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I praise You and I thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. And I praise You and I thank You for Your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Holy Spirit, and Your Holy Word. And Holy Father God, I thank You for all of the thanksgivings past. And I thank You for putting that on my heart, even at this time. For You have shown us in Your Holy Word how that we ought to be thankful for all things. And help us, Lord, to be thankful for all of the things that You've allowed us to do in the past. Some things on a regular basis, like celebrate Thanksgiving. It was quite different this year, as there are many things quite different. But we should be very thankful for what You've already done. Help us to be that. And Lord God in heaven, help us to be that way, rather. And Holy Father God, I thank You for Your Holy Word. Help us, Lord, and grant us Your energy and Your strength, Your unction and Your anointing, and the power of Your Holy Spirit, Your wisdom, to help us to understand Your Holy Word, to apply it to our lives, to share it with others, to teach it to others in a discipleship way, and to preach Your holy gospel to others. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Be with us again on this journey as You have been in the past. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be sober-minded. Help us to be vigilant and watchful. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to resist the devil. And Lord, that he would flee from us. Please rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from us tonight. as we spend this time together. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, please glorify your holy name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, in Numbers chapter 31. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe 1,000, throughout all the tribes of Israel, shall ye send to the war. So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, and Rechem, and Zer, and Hur, and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives, and their little ones, and took the spoil of all their cattle, and all their flocks, and all their goods. And they burnt all their cities wherein they dwelt, and all their goodly castles with fire. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, both of men and of beasts. And they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, and unto the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by Jordan near Jericho. And Moses and Eleazar the priest and all of the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captains over thousands and the captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. And Moses said unto them, have ye saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. But all the women children that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves. And do ye abide without the camp 7 days? Whosoever hath killed any person, and whosoever hath touched any slain, purify both yourselves and your captives on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. And purify all your raiment, and all that is made of skins, and all works of goat's hair, and all things made of wool, of wood, rather, and all things made of wood. And Eleazar the priest said unto the men of war which went to the battle, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold and the silver, the brass, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation, and all that abideth. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation, and all that abideth not the fire ye shall make go through the water. And ye shall wash your clothes on the 7th day, and ye shall be clean, and afterward ye shall come into the camp. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the sum of the prey that was taken, both of man and of beast, thou and Eleazar the priest, and the chief fathers of the congregation, and divide the prey into 2 parts, between them that took the war upon them who went out to battle, and between all the congregation. And levy a tribute unto the Lord of the men of war which went out to battle, 1 soul of 500, both of the persons, and of the beeves, and of the asses, and of the sheep. Take it of their half, and give it unto Eleazar the priest for an heave offering of the Lord. And of the children of Israel's half thou shalt take 1 portion of 50, of the persons, of the beeves, of the asses, and of the flocks of all manner of beasts, and give them unto the Levites, which keep the charge of the tabernacle of the Lord. And Moses and Eleazar the priest did as the Lord commanded Moses, and the booty being the rest of the prey which the men of war had caught was 600,000, and 70,000, and 5,000 sheep. Pardon me. And 70,000 beeves, and 61,000 asses, and 32,000 persons in all, of women that had not known man by lying with him. And the half which was the portion of them that went out to war was in number 300,007 and 30,500 sheep. And the Lord's tribute of the sheep was 60,315. And the beeves were 36,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 60,012. And the asses were 30,500, of which the Lord's tribute was 61. And the persons were 16,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 32 persons. And Moses gave the tribute which was the Lord's heave offering unto Eleazar the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses. And of the children of Israel's half, which Moses divided from the men that warred, now the half that pertained unto the congregation was 300,000 and 30,000. And 7,500 sheep. And 36,000 beeves, and 30,000 asses, and 516,000 persons, even of the children of Israel's half. Moses took one portion of 50, both of man and of beast, and gave them unto the Levites, which kept the charge of the tabernacle of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the officers which were over thousands of the host, the captains of thousands, and captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses. And they said unto Moses, Thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. We have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord, what every man hath gotten of jewels, of gold, chains and bracelets, rings, earrings, and tablets, to make an atonement for our souls before the Lord. And Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold to them, even all wrought jewels, and all the gold of the offering that they offered up to the Lord of the captains of thousands and of the captains of hundreds was 16,750 shekels. For the men of war had taken spoil, every man for himself, and Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and brought it into the tabernacle of the congregation for a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, save every soul under the sound of my voice as your holy gospel is preached now. We do praise you and we thank you for the power and the peace, Lord, that you've given to us and that you're giving to others from your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and to the standing between the living and the dead memorial and devotional service family members, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Treasury of David. This is episode number 26. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Sweet evening hymn. I shall not sit up to watch through fear, but I will lie down, and then I will not lie awake listening to every rustling sound, but I will lie down in peace and sleep, for I have naught to fear. He that hath the wings of God above him needs no other curtain. Better than bolts or bars is the protection of the Lord. Armed men kept the bed of Solomon, but we do not believe that he slept more soundly than his father, whose bed was the hard ground, and who was haunted by bloodthirsty foes. Note the word only, which means that God alone was his keeper, and that though alone, without man's help, he was even then in good keeping, for he was alone with God. A quiet conscience is a good bedfellow. How many of our how many of our sleepless hours might be traced to our untrusting and disordered minds? They slumber sweetly whom faith rocks to sleep. No pillow so soft as a promise, no coverlet so warm as an assured interest in Christ. O Lord, give us this calm repose on thee, that like David we may lie down in peace and sleep each night while we live, and joyfully may we lie down in the appointed season to sleep in death, to rest in God. Dr. Hawker's reflection upon this psalm is worthy to be prayed over and fed upon with sacred delight. We cannot help transcribing it. So, dear friend, let us never lose sight of the Lord Jesus while reading this psalm. He is the Lord our righteousness, and therefore in all our approaches to the mercy seat, let us go there in a language corresponding to this which calls Jesus the Lord our righteousness, while men of the world from the world are seeking their chief good. Let us desire his favor, which infinitely transcends corn and wine, and all the good things which perish in the using. Pardon me. Yes, Lord, thy favor is better than life itself. Thou causest them that love thee to inherit substance, and fillest all their treasure. O thou gracious God and Father, hast thou in such a powerful manner set apart one in our nature for thyself, Hast thou indeed chosen one out of the people? Hast thou beheld him in the purity of his nature, as one in every point godly? In every point godly. Hast thou given him as the covenant of the people? And hast thou declared thyself well pleased in him? O then, well may my soul be well pleased in him also. Now do I know that my God and Father will hear me when I call upon him in Jesus' name, and when I look up to him for acceptance for Jesus' sake. Yes, my heart is fixed, O Lord, my heart is fixed. Jesus is my hope and righteousness. The Lord will hear me when I call. And henceforth will I both lay me down in peace and sleep securely in Jesus, accepted in the Beloved, for this is the rest wherewith the Lord causeth the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your holy word and your comforting holy word in times like these. And so, Lord, I do pray that you will help us to remember this devotional time. And live victoriously in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in keeping with the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead service, we're going to continue to read what I have dubbed the family verses. We're only reading one verse today, Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All fathers, you should know by now what this means. And I believe all fathers know instinctively what it means. And what they should do. And just remember that there's no need to get so angry that you allow the anger and wrath, the sun rather, to go down on your anger and wrath. If you are angry and wrathful, you're out of control. I have told you many times how that I have had to really force myself and make myself sound angry and wrathful. And I believe most fathers are this way. I really do. I believe they have such a great love in their hearts for their children. That's right. Lost fathers have a natural love for their children in general. And I believe, and I know that Christian fathers do. My dad was not a great dad. He didn't know what he was supposed to do. He never had a father. But one thing I do know about my dad, he loved me. And he loved my siblings. I do know that. And see, this kind of love is a love, the love of a father. You feel it. You know it. And you should feel the love of your mother as well. If you don't feel the love of a father and you don't feel the love of a mother, that is a tragedy. That is a tragedy for any child. And may God help the children who don't have a mother or a father one preacher is trying to get families in the church to adopt foster care children. I think he mentioned there was nearly half a million foster care children in the system. They don't have a father or a mother. May God help them. So there's a natural love in the Father and a supernatural agape love in the Father. And here's how it ought to be before you provoke your child to anger and wrath and so forth, because you're angry and wrathful. It ought to be a situation where you have to really make yourself do that as a responsible parent to get across your point to the disobedient and irresponsible child. It ought to be a spirit in you that I believe that's in God. God is not eager to hit the wrath button. Thank God for that. Amen, somebody. He's not. It's just not in him. He does not want to do that. Because God's wrath, I was writing about God's wrath today and his punishment. And I had my daughter, Daniqua, and all of my children, they all have different systems on their computer to check things, grammar-wise. And the thing corrected me, I mentioned total destruction. And basically, Grammarly told me that total destruction, the destruction is total destruction. It's total. That's right. I think it was Grammarly that told me that destruction is total. You don't need to say total destruction. See, and so God does not want to chastise his children. God does not want to punish his children and nations. And quite frankly, that ought to be in you. Now, if you're looking because you're angry, you're just an angry person, you want to take it out on your child, then you don't need to be in the position of a father. You need to get out of that position. I don't know what you're going to do, but you need to get out of that position. If you get your kicks, as apparently, according to the Bible, some people do, out of whipping your children, then you need to get out of the parenting business. There's something wrong, something wicked, something sadistic about you. If you get off on making your children angry and mad and all of that, then you're not a father, you're not a mother. And there are fathers, and by the way, now God is speaking to fathers and mothers. He's emphasizing fathers because fathers, and he wants fathers to know that they're in charge. The mother is supposed to be a helpmeet to him in raising the children. But there are mothers who are wicked like this too, who constantly want to keep up mess with their own children. And one of the demonic things I've seen is mothers who keep a mess with their children like they're adults, and that is not the case. The children still 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and they get into it with them like they're grown, and they're so stupid. Basically, the parent is acting like a child when you do that, when you get into a tit-for-tat situation. You're acting juvenile. So you instinctively know not to provoke your children to wrath. In fact, you have instincts, and if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God as well, where you're always thinking about how you can bless your children, what good you can do for your children, what can you get your children to see them enjoy, because see, God is that way. God wants to bless us. He's looking for ways to bless us. And he enjoys, and he's blessed, if you will, when he sees you, enjoying the blessings he bestows upon you. Now that's the God I know. God does not mind you enjoying your life. He does not mind you enjoying his blessings. Just give him the glory and give him the praise. And he loves receiving that praise, and he loves receiving that thank you. When I buy my children something, even to this day, I want to hear that thank you. That thank you means a lot. What I gave them may or may not mean a lot. It may not be maybe some chocolate candy, dark chocolate. It may be a special coffee that they may like. Most of my children are big now, or something like that. And I don't want them to just take it and look away and not say thank you. I get a joy out of giving it to them, and I get a joy out of them saying thank you and I appreciate it and stuff like that, see. And God is more like that than we'll ever be. But you ought to have some of that in your heart, sir. Now you know I'm telling the truth. And if you got a wife who does not have that in her heart, you better deal with her. And make sure she does not keep up mess with your children that you always got to fix. But sometimes the bully in the family is not the children, and not a big brother or big sister, and not the big old papa and father. Sometimes is the big mama. Because she's allowed the devil to get in there on her, where she's constantly provoking you as the husband, you know that, and constantly provoking the children, just doing stuff, doing mess that keeps the children in uproar. And then she wants to try to be a boss to them because she's not the boss of herself. You got to check that, because that's going to make a miserable situation for your children, and you're going to be always trying to put out fires that she created. She lit the match, not the children. And let me tell you, Father, something. Don't you always listen to me very carefully. I know that they taught you this. Don't you always take your wife's word, if she's not a good wife and mother, over your children. You better investigate that situation. I'm talking about dealing with women and so-called wives and mothers who are not known to be good women and good wives and mothers. Now, if you got a good woman, wife, and mother, and you don't have problems like that, glory be to God. You don't have to investigate nothing. You follow what she tells you, and it'll be just fine. And let me just help you, gentlemen, and you wives and women and mothers as well. Let me tell you something. If you married a bad husband or a bad wife, they're going to be bad until God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost does something inside of them, and they allow God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to do something inside of them. You cannot build a bad man. You cannot build a bad woman. Now, if you're going to dwell together, you choose to dwell together, everybody's going to have to line up with the scriptures, whether they are saved or lost, good or bad. But don't waste your life trying to build something, trying to build a car. In words of Dr. Andrew Hamilton, almost every time he had to make a trip to go preach, he had to build a car. You can't build a woman. You can't build a godly woman. You can't build a godly man. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your life. Don't do that. And don't waste your life. And don't let them take you down with them. So remember that. Always Every time. And this is another natural thing that ought to be in you. This is nothing you have to pump up or fake up. And that is, you always applaud your children when they do well. You always rebuke them, admonish them when they do evil. Every now and then, as they grow older, you do what Solomon told you, and you have one blind eye and one seeing eye. And that means that you know what they did, but sometimes you just let it go. But don't let it go just because you're tired and just because you don't want to be bothered. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you can go ahead and deal with it, but you see what they did. They were wrong when they did. It was not that big of a deal, and you let it go. You see with one eye, you don't see with the other. You hear with one ear, you don't hear with the other. And you especially have to practice that when you have older children. And grown children who are on their own and stuff like that. That's wisdom from Solomon. You got one blind eye and one open eye. You know what they're doing. But, you know, you just you give it over to the Lord. And by the way, if you have older children, grown children on their own, you do what you said when God gave them to you when they were little beautiful babies. You say you're going to give them back to the Lord, didn't you? Well, go ahead and do that. You make that clear to God every day. Lord, I have turned these children over to you. I know that you can take care of them because you took care of all of us. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Ghost will not give them rest. If they're not saved, save them. If they are, not give them rest about staying away from sin, not being duped by the devil and devilish people. And you just pray on, and you commit them into God's hands. And you let God deal with them. And I guarantee you, you'll sleep with peace at night. Okay? And so, but most times, nine times out of ten, 99% of the time, you go ahead and deal with it, because, and when it comes to discipline, consistency is important. Because, see, the devil and devilish people and rebellious people will try to wear you down. Let them know you're not going to wear me down. Every now and then, I may see you with one eye and not see you with the other. Let it go. I may hear it with the right ear, not hear it with the left, on purpose, and choose to just let it go on. But don't keep acting ugly, because God does not like ugly. And keep on doing the evil. Because then now I'm going to whip you for the evil you're doing presently, and what I saw you do with my right eye, and what I heard in my right ear. And do you understand what I'm saying to you? Okay? So, let it be real, brethren. Let it be real. Now, dear friends, let's pray for others. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all people who name the name of Jesus Christ. Help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for everybody in the ministry of government. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Help everybody, Lord, to confess their sins and to repent and to get their hearts right with you, and help us, Lord, help them to do it so that we all can live peaceful and quiet lives. And Lord, do your work in the hearts of kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers and potentates and premiers and all government officials around the world. Police officers, sheriff, deputies, and all other government law enforcement, that we may lead peaceful lives, save them and bless them all as you see fit. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would protect all persecuted Christians all around the world and give them your grace for their trying hours and their dying hours. And Holy Father God, we pray for the special prayer requests that have come in, but we pray for the thousands of other people who have sent in prayer requests as well. Lord, we pray for Robin. Please stop breast cancer from reoccurring in her body and heal her from the severe side effects of medication. We pray for Joseph. Bless him, his family, and ministry in Kenya. We pray for Henry. Please heal him of stomach ulcers, anaemia, and hemorrhoids, and bless him with the money that he needs for surgery. And we pray for the needs of others in the thousands, just like that. And Holy Father God, we pray for those people who have heard the gospel, the preaching of your gospel through this ministry, and who have trusted you as Savior. We pray not only for the few that we have listed here in this prayer time, but for the thousands who have heard the gospel and gotten saved as well over the years. Maybe millions, Lord, I don't know, only you know. I do know you have the power to save millions. I do know I have prayed for you to use our ministry to see over 3 million people saved. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt my prayer and the faith I have in you, and I don't doubt your power. And I believe that you will do it if you have not already done it. And so we pray for all of these people. Help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Adaman, we pray for Alan, we pray for Claudio, we pray for Philip, we pray for Hamid. And Lord, we pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to you in the same way. Lord, you know who they are in the thousands, but we pray for a few right now. Ethelyn, Diana, Victor, Louise, and Hank. Help them to stand strong in the faith and never quit and never faint. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray now for the salvation of the lost in our families, in our churches, in countries around the world, and in this country called America. We pray for the revival of all people in our families, in our churches, in this country and around the globe. We pray for the healing of all people who are sick. According to your will and way, help us to do our part, confess our sins and repent, believe in Christ, and Lord, heal everybody who is sick as you see fit. And we pray that you would comfort those, Lord, who are mourning and grieving dead loved ones from the novel coronavirus plague. And Holy Father God, we pray for some people by name. We pray for millions of others. We include millions of others in this prayer. We pray for the family and friends of Maine resident Arthur Mitchell. We pray for the family and friends of Washington, D.C. resident Howard Croft. We pray for the family and friends of Cambodian American Hack Flong. We pray for the family and friends of Pennsylvania resident Kyle Dixon. We pray for the family and friends of Nebraska veteran Greg Peterson. And Lord, I pray that you'll save those who are lost, who will now hear the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, that means that if you are in this world, God loves you. That he gave his only begotten Son, God gave up his only begotten Son to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins, because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins, however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to truly repent of my sins present and to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.